Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today is the celebration of God, because it is the Holy Trinity Sunday. The technical term is the Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, and it is the first Sunday after Pentecost, where we sit back and we think about what is the core doctrine of our faith, of our being Christian. And at the very center of everything that we are, it's this: the nature of God, the God that we worship, the God that we are all about, is one being who exists in three persons. Many people will say faith is the core doctrine. It's not. We just talk about faith a lot because it's a mechanism, if you will, by which we perceive God and have a relationship with Him, and by virtue receive grace and blessing from Him, as well as our salvation. But that's not the core thing that Christianity is about. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is an essential teaching, a dogmatic teaching, a very necessary teaching. But it is not the core of who we are as people. The central doctrine, the central thing that touches everything else that we are as Christians, as Catholics, as individuals, is this knowledge that God is a Trinity, three persons, yet only one being. And this is something that confuses people. Part of the reason why it confuses people is because they only think about it in terms of what we as individuals in this life experience. How is it possible that God can be three persons, yet at the same time be one being? The honest answer that I can give you is I really don't know. Not knowing it, not being able to explain it, doesn't invalidate it. No more than my not being able to explain how a combustion engine works for me to be able to drive a car, or a battery works for me to use a flashlight, or anything about my body to be able to live in it, doesn't change the fact that it's a reality. To know reality is to know that God is three and one. And this knowledge of God, this knowledge of Him as an individual, is central, because if we don't approach Christianity to know our triune God, we aren't in a relationship with Him. We just have this external religion. And that's something that is a big problem for a lot of people. You see, our first reading on this Sunday comes from the book of Exodus. And it goes as follows. Early in the morning, Moses went up Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, taking along the two stone tablets. Having come down in a cloud, the Lord stood with Moses, there proclaimed his name, Lord. Thus the Lord passed before him and cried out, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger, and rich in kindness and fidelity, Moses at once bowed down to the ground in worship. Then he said, "If I find favor with you, O Lord, do come along in our company. This is indeed a stiff-necked people. Yet pardon our wickedness and sins, and receive us as your own." The word of the Lord. That's the first reading. And it highlights some very unique things. Moses came to God with two stone tablets representing the law. Yet the law wasn't the basis for Israel's religion. It was this knowledge of who God is as Lord. The Hebrew word is the four-letter designation for God, the Yud, the Hey, the Vav, the Hey. And it's properly pronounced Yahovah. Yah as in Hallelujah, Ovah as in Jehovah. You see, throughout the centuries, in order to prevent the name of God from being spoken with irreverence, like when people cuss and say, "Oh, Jesus Christ," and they're screaming out the name because it's a curse word to them, in order to preserve it from that type of misuse, the Jews refer to God as Adonai, or Lord, or Hashem, meaning the name. And it's in that way that they preserve the dignity of the name. Many people incorrectly think it's Jehovah. There were no J's in Hebrew. In fact, J is something that is a creation in English within the last, I'll say the last 600 years. It didn't start showing up till about the, I think the 13th or 1400s, and didn't really get into popularity until the King James translation codified it. I think it shows up a little bit in the Geneva Bible, but as far as English, English did not have a J in it. So the idea of Jehovah, Jesus, Joshua, John is a relatively new invention. And it's something that comes in through the way words are made. Etymology is the proper classification, scientific-wise, for explaining what it is. So Jehovah is not correct. Yahovah is. Yahweh also is not correct, because there's no W's in Hebrew. In English, while it had a double U to a degree, it didn't really gain the kind of popularity it does today until about the same time that the J's started coming in. There are reasons for why they came in, and they are legitimate, and it doesn't change the reality of, like, those people that walk around saying you've got to call Jesus Yeshua, which, yeah, that's his name in the Hebrew. But we know when we talk about John or Peter who we're talking about, even though Petros or Cephas is really what Peter was called back when he was alive. Do we show disrespect by referring to him that way? No. It's just the difference in language. But here, we proclaim the name of the Lord because we know him as Lord. We know him as Yehovah. We know his name. We know his name because knowing the name is intimacy. It's not just going to somebody at work and going to whoever that person is that's on the counter today, or whoever's on the phone today, or whoever's doing this today or that today. No, we know the person. There's an intimacy. In fact, we know a little bit more about God than we do about people sometimes. For instance, in the conversation in the first reading, we are told that the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and kindness. And then we get kind of a gospel message because Moses says, come and be with us. Come in our company. Even though we're stiff-necked and we're wicked and sinners, forgive us. Receive us as your own. And this reminds me of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, where it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For you must know that God is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. There's three things in that passage that most people miss. First, to be pleasing to God means that you have to believe. You are responsible for believing. We are saved by grace through faith. We aren't saved because of faith. We are saved by grace. Faith is just a means through which grace comes into our lives. And without faith, it's impossible to please God because we don't have the means through which grace can be imparted to us. See, God does his part. You have your part to do. A lot of people get this confused and think that because you have a part in what you have to do to have salvation communicated to you, they think, oh, you're earning your salvation. Which is poppycock. Balderdash. Ignorance. It's not what it's talking about. See, you have to know who God is. You have to know he exists. And you have to know something about him. You have to know his character. You have to know that he rewards those that diligently seek him. You have to know that he is the Lord. Proclaim the name Lord. The Lord, merciful and gracious God, slow to anger, rich in kindness and fidelity. You have to know this about his character. You have to know he is three and he is one. See, that's what makes this the most central thing. You can't have a relationship with somebody you don't know. You can't have a relationship with somebody that you've canceled in cancel culture. You can't have a relationship with somebody that you don't want to be around. So we come to Trinity Sunday and we think about who our God is. And we should be motivated to praise and thanksgiving like the responsorial psalm directs us toward, because the responsorial psalm is glory and praise forever. Glory and praise forever. Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our fathers, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. And blessed is your holy and glorious name, praiseworthy and exalted above all for all ages. Glory and praise forever. Blessed are you in the temple of your holy glory, praiseworthy and glorious above all forever. Glory and praise forever. Blessed are you on the throne of your kingdom, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Glory and praise forever. Blessed are you who look into the depths from your throne upon the cherubim, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Glory and praise forever. Can you sing out that kind of praise because you know God like Daniel did? Like the three Hebrew children did, because that's from their song while they were walking in the fire. Or how about, let's look a little bit more to what St. Paul tells us in the second reading that comes from the second letter to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, rejoice, mend your ways, encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the holy ones greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord's the Lord. Notice it talks about you doing something, mending your ways, encouraging one another, agreeing with one another, living in peace. These are the things that are necessary to have God in your company, to have God in your midst, to have God with you, to have Emmanuel, Jesus Christ. This is the grace that comes through faith into our lives, if we believe, because our faith allows us to be the kind of people God can be pleased. I don't think a lot of people get this, and a lot of people get it wrong. St. Paul in 2 Corinthians talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit. The most earliest comprehension of a Trinity, without really going into the full bells and whistles working knowledge of it. Sometimes that's where we start, is with the bells and whistles. What is the three parts of God? Jesus, Father, and Holy Spirit. Are they parts of God or are they all God? All God. Why do we call them parts? Because we don't understand how God is each completely and individually. We don't perceive it because it's something that is beyond our capacity to perceive. We can know what it is in truth, but we can't really explain it. Kind of like I can't explain to you how a car works. I know it has something to do with an engine. I know it has something to do with fire and fuel and pistons and turning engines and stuff like that, but I can't go into all the in-depth. I'm not a doctor. I can't explain to you why my body does what my body does at any given time, or what to do if I really get sick, how to heal myself if I get into real trouble. But I know the bells and whistles. I know enough that I can do the Alleluia verse and sing Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To God who is, who was, and who is to come. Alleluia, alleluia. And here's our reading today from the Holy Gospel according to John. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. You see, even though salvation is central to us understanding and being what we need to be as Christians, the depth of what it is understanding God's nature, because Jesus died on a cross, and the Father is the one that sent him. There's a distinction between at least Father and Son that we can know when we perceive the gospel, and we can believe in Jesus just the same as we can believe in God, our Heavenly Father, and have the kind of faith that Jesus has. See, these are the things that we need to know, and these are the things we need to be focused on. Over the last month, because of my mother's passing, and it's been a month as of today, she died on May 4th, it's now June 4th. Time for me to get back to reality, get back to what life is all about, and get moving again. A from today. We begin the journey again of trying to figure out who God is and relating to Him. I'm going to try to get more podcasts up throughout the next couple days. I want to try to get the liturgy of the hours or the daily office in its proper form. We are beginning week one again, and because of that, I might just do the daily from the week as the daily office for the next 4 weeks, so that I at least have that going forward, and not really worry so much about adding in the prayers, recognizing the saint of the day, or anything like that, just to get to the point of having the 4 weeks completed, because it's a lot easier once I have those to be able to trade those out come July than not. So over the next couple weeks, we may just only have the daily office as it relates to the weekly daily office readings instead of the specifics. They can be done that way because a lot of the memorials are optional. And you can do the dailies without doing those. There are going to be some that I will skip because of the simple fact I will be doing it the other way. But that's plan number one. Plan number two is also trying to make sure that I get all the other stuff done on. I'm probably going to do a couple each day till I get everything all done up. So you might get like evening and morning or office of reading and lectionary or something like that. And just do it that way till I get everything caught up. And then start getting into the what is the saint of the day and how that fits into the daily office prayers. These are the things that we are looking at going forward, but it's mostly because, not that we're not going to get into all this other stuff and have it proper, but because we have to get things set up so that we can truly worship God. And that's what this is ultimately going to be about. If you've been looking at the dtesh.com website, you probably noticed that it's been changed a little bit lately. We no longer have the buy a cup of coffee option, but we do have a kind of a donate button where you can basically put in a prayer request and get prayers said as a result of basically lighting the candle, and it's going to fall into that kind of thought process. So that's one of the big changes that's gone. You'll also note from the dtesh.com website that there's a link to our coffee shop, dteshcoffeeshop.com. On that site, you can buy coffee. By buying coffee, you not only get a good coffee, something that I think is one of the best coffees around, even though I'm not a huge coffee drinker. I do like the roast. I've kind of gone into a few of them to kind of sample a little bit. And it'll allow you to have coffee and help support us in how we are trying to do things moving forward. And if we can get enough of that going, we can really branch out into this and get a whole lot more ministry stuff done. I'd like to eventually get to an outreach where we're helping people that are struggling be able to pay for rent and stuff by helping them out through the St. Vincent de Paul Society, Salvation Army, and other types of outreaches like that to help people just stay off the streets, stay in a home, have a roof over their head, food in their belly type thing. But that's a down the road thing. We're still working towards that. We need to have the coffee shop work. We need to have donations come in through the lighting candle. And in return, we'll get coffee and we'll pray for it. So those are the two things we're working on right now. And once again, I'll try to get up more podcasts. I'm trying to get every day's Liturgy of the Hours, get you a rosary, and get you the lectionary readings for the day so that there's a little bit of a prayer service throughout the day for all of us, and that we can develop our relationship with a God that